Welcome to the Sunday Reflection from Christchurch, Selly Park in Birmingham, and welcome to my home too. Whoever you are, I hope you are blessed in some way by what we bring you online today. I'm going to begin in prayer with thanks to the Clay family as they bring us the prayer that Jesus taught us, and it's great to see it still being passed on. Let's pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Today we're at the start of a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we hope each week also to offer an example of how the teaching we hear might also be put into practice. The theme for today's reflection is the Grand Invitation. 35 years ago I was having a tough time and a friend invited me to church. I replied, "Thank you, but I'm not that desperate. Come for lunch instead," he offered, adding after I'd accepted, "And then we'll go to church." I went to lunch and to church, and at church I was given an invitation to become a part of God's kingdom. In those days, people talked of giving one's life to Jesus, and I remember thinking at the time, "I'm making a bit of a mess of my life. If you want it, Jesus, you can have it." I'm really glad that I accepted my friend's invitation, but even gladder that I accepted the invitation from Jesus. So as we begin thinking about being invited, we'll have our Bible reading from Kath, and Peter will speak to us.
Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, the Beatitudes. "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can I add my welcome to Bobby's? Thank you for joining us for this reflection. We're going to look at a little passage which seeks to answer two big questions. Who is it that lives a good life? And what does a good life look like? Or in terms that the passage uses, who is it that is blessed? And what does it mean to be blessed? The answers, as I hope you will see, turn our expectations upside down. So let's start with the question, who is it that is blessed? Who do you consider to be blessed? The temptation for us is to measure blessedness in terms of success. What about people who manage their careers successfully? Self-help gurus who must be blessed because they can write books telling the rest of us how we can share in their blessedness. The rich, of course, must surely be blessed. TV presenters who are able to flash their warm and radiant smiles in a way that I don't think I'll ever master. And what about the fit, the strong, the beautiful, the able-bodied? According to the book that we're following, The Good and Beautiful Life, the rabbis taught that to be worthy of the kingdom of God, one had to be Jewish, male, a faithful keeper of the law and ritually pure, so people like the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests, physically whole and healthy, and not poor, because wealth was seen as a sign of God's blessing. I'm not sure that that list is any better than the first list. Some people are in, some people are out. It's all about outward appearances. The Beatitudes offer a shockingly different view of who is blessed. But before we dive into them, I just want to make two general observations about them. Firstly, the Beatitudes are not a fresh set of commandments that we are to live out. God is not commanding us to live in spiritual poverty or in a perpetual state of mourning or even to seek out a life of suffering. That simply does not make sense. Secondly, it is more helpful to think about the Beatitudes as a set of invitations. They are invitations from Jesus to us to participate with him in his kingdom and to experience the outpouring of his blessings. So let's find out what that looks like in practice. Well, I've got a stack of invitations here. Let's see who they're for. The first is for the poor in spirit. Dallas Willard translates this first beatitude this way: blessed are the spiritual zeros, the spiritually bankrupt, deprived and deficient, the spiritual beggars, those without a wisp of religion, when the kingdom of heaven comes upon them. Who is this addressed to? Isn't it all of us? Without Christ, are we not all spiritually impoverished? As a statement of blessing, it couldn't be more inclusive. No human condition excludes blessedness, as Dallas Willard wrote again. So who else is there? Those who mourn. So are we saying that those who are suffering a deep sense of loss for whatever reason are to be considered blessed because of their loss? Surely not. But Jesus' invitation is for them. It comes with its own unique blessing. And here we have one for the meek. Well, they're not at the top of anyone's list. I mean, they just don't push themselves forward enough. Yet they have their invitation and their blessing. Next, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, people who are aware of their own failings or the brokenness of the world and long for something better. But that's not a great place to be, is it? That's not where happiness lies. They too are invited and blessed. And what about the merciful? Well, they'll never make a success of their lives. They'll let you get away with anything. Is that a recipe for blessedness? They have their invitation and their blessing too. And as for the pure in heart, people who are able to act out of completely unmixed motives, I mean, is that even possible? They're going to be living in a permanent state of dissatisfaction. Well, they're on the list, and they're blessed. What about peacemakers, those who put themselves in the midst of conflict and seek to bring peace? Well, that's not a recipe for personal well-being, is it? They're invited, they're blessed. And finally, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's hard, isn't it, to put the words persecution and blessedness together. Yet here they are with their own invitation to the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven. So that's who is blessed. Again, according to Dallas Willard, it is a list of people humanly regarded as lost causes, but who yet, at the hand of Jesus, come to know the blessing of the kingdom of heaven. And what about the second question? What does it mean to be blessed? Jesus' blessings address our deepest needs. The first and last beatitude bracket the rest of the list and promise the kingdom of heaven. Do we not all yearn for a sense of belonging, purpose, and significance? Those to whom the kingdom of heaven has been given are blessed with all these things. Do not those who mourn long for comfort? In Jesus, that is what they will receive. Do not the dispossessed and downtrodden long for an inheritance? In Christ, it is theirs. Do not those who long for a better world want to see it fulfilled? In Christ they will see it happen. Do we not all want to receive mercy? It can be found in Jesus. Do we not all want to see God? In Jesus, that will be our experience. Do we not all want to be known as children of God, to be seen to bear a likeness to his character? As we accept Jesus' invitation and walk with him, that blessing too will be ours. So let's be people who have accepted that inclusive invitation to blessing from Jesus. And if we've already opened the metaphorical front door of our lives to Jesus, let's accept the invitation to receive more of his blessing. And let us too follow Jesus' model of inclusive invitation as we open our lives, our homes, and our church to all. In the soul training section of our reflection, we are being encouraged to think about hospitality. Jesus challenged the way we show hospitality to people. In Luke 14, he tells us to think beyond the people we are comfortable with and the people that are advantageous for us to know. But when you give a banquet, Jesus says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. We've got a short video clip now of Rachel talking about some work that she has got involved in with a friend, developing relationships with some of the most vulnerable in society. Over to Rachel.
Over the last 7 or 8 years, I've been supporting my best friend to run a group called Friday Group. And the main focus for this group has been to offer friendship and hospitality to people who are on the fringe of society. Since the group started, Friday Group has probably helped over 50 plus people. The people who come along are mainly mums with their children, and quite often they come with quite a lot of baggage and history, including domestic abuse, poverty, loneliness and depression. The format is really simple. It's an open house. People can just come along when they feel that they need to. But we offer lunch, a place to chat, and the older kids then come after school, and we have about 15 to 20 children running about. It's a lot of fun, but it's hard work. The reason that Friday Group is so successful is that it offers people a place of safety, a place where they can build relationships, a place where they can develop in themselves, and a place just to be. The friendships that have grown out of Friday Group have been amazing, and it's been a real privilege to be allowed to be a part of it. Through the work we've done, we've also been able at times to share the gospel with them, and quite often we found that people are quite open to hearing more about what Jesus can do in their lives. I feel being part of Friday Group has given me an insight into the importance of the role hospitality plays in sharing the gospel of Christ.
Regular members of Christchurch will have seen in the newsletter that we're saying goodbye to our dear friend Daniel. Daniel joined us as a refugee with limited English, but through many years of hard work and study, alongside a difficult journey to getting leave to remain in this country, he has successfully achieved a degree in IT, a PGCE, and now his first teaching job at a school in Worcester. We're going to miss him a lot. Billy's working on a recording of a longer interview with Daniel, which will be available soon. But here's a short extract, and then some prayers for him from his home group.
Hi Daniel, great to speak to you. Can you tell us what is your new job?
It's a teaching job on computer science and ICT. In a school called Christopher Whitehead Language College. It's in Worcester.
Brilliant. Well, that's fantastic news then for you. So how do you feel about having to move and all the things that are going to come from this?
Yeah, up till now, it's like a dream. Things are happening and it still haven't sunk in. I'm a bit excited, but at the same time, anxious.
Yes, well, it's understandable. Yes, big move for you. So what do you think you might have learnt about God since you've been at Christ Church and how he's provided for you?
Back in Africa, I've been through a lot of situations, but here it's been the highest and the most difficult one. But all the way the Lord has put me through, and he just provided for me in such a wonderful way. And up till now, I still don't understand why he did that. But I do know that he is a good God. And the wonderful Bradshed family he allowed me to meet and know and socialize with is an incredible asset for me. And I need to be very, very grateful. I'm very grateful to the Lord. He's provided for me all the way through.
Well, that's excellent. And we've loved having you with us as well at Christchurch. Dear Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that Daniel has to start a new career in teaching.
Thank you that you have been with him through all the highs and lows of recent years and have led him to this exciting new chapter in his life.
We pray for this next step, that he would settle in quickly in his new teaching role. We pray for good relationships with colleagues and that he would feel supported in his work. We pray for a positive, friendly working environment where he can develop as a teacher.
Father, we ask that you would help Daniel find just the right church for him near his new home in Worcester.
Help him to find faithful Christian friends who would welcome him into their fellowship and care for him.
Father, we pray for Daniel as he goes into this new school at an unsettled time. We pray for protection for him from the pandemic and the consequences of that. We pray for the pupils that he'll be teaching, that you'll help him to build a good relationship with them. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you to everyone who's contributed today and to all who've joined with us. I hope you found something to feed you or to encourage you. If you're a visitor, then I invite you to get in touch via our website, Christchurch Selly Park. So let's finish with a final prayer. God bless those who are poor in spirit, who feel empty inside and who dread the day. God bless those who mourn and grieve, who ache with loss for someone so much loved. God bless the people who are meek, who do not grasp or shout or demand to be first in the queue. God bless the people who are hungry for justice and who cannot wait for everyone to have their rights. God bless all who are merciful, who have learned to forgive even those who hurt them hard. God bless all who are pure in heart, in whom there is no vengefulness, but only love. God bless the peacemakers, the ones who by their words and deeds can change the world. God bless the persecuted ones and keep them safe from those who would hurt them. God, so rich in blessings for your children, we rejoice in your promise and in your boundless and transforming grace. Amen.